I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Because of the length of the show today, the introduction of my guest will be abbreviated. More information can be found at holistichealthshow.com or gersontreatments.com. Dr. Patrick Vickers is the director and founder of the Northern Baja Gerson Clinic. He has been friends with Charlotte Gerson since the 1990s. While living at her home, he studied all of the Gerson records and notes on patients from 1910 to 1959, including hundreds of handwritten letters from Dr. Gerson's friend and Nobel Prize winner, Albert Schweitzer. Following his study of the records, Dr. Vickers interned in the Gerson Clinic and then opened Gerson clinics in Peru, Guatemala, and Mexico, and later in the present location in Southern California. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Vickers, and I look forward to hearing about Gerson therapy.
Now, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Now, can you tell us what got you started down the natural healthcare path?
Yeah, well, I wanted to be a chiropractor ever since I was 11 years old. A friend of our family's was a chiropractor, and they were staying at our home for the weekend. And at about 3 in the morning, their 5-year-old son, who was sleeping in my bed with me, woke up with a cough that wouldn't stop. And he literally coughed for 15, 20 minutes straight, and then finally his father heard him. He came upstairs, and he laid him on the end of the bed, and he adjusted his neck both ways. And the child stopped coughing immediately. He didn't cough the rest of the night. And as soon as that happened, I said, that's what I'm going to do for a living. And so I was 11 years old when that happened. And then here I am, a year away from graduating from chiropractic school at the age of 28, 29 maybe. And the last living daughter of Dr. Max Gerson, Charlotte Gerson, came and spoke at my school, and the moment she opened her mouth, I knew that that's what I would spend the rest of my life doing, and and here we are twenty years later, and we now have one of the premier Gerson clinics in the world, where we're treating a vast majority of degenerative diseases, including terminal cancer, using the Gerson therapy.
Now, as you said, you're the director and founder of the Northern Baja Gerson Clinic.
And yeah, that's right. Our clinic is called the Northern Baja Gerson Center, and it's in Rosarito, Mexico. And yes, I'm the director and the founder of the clinic.
And why has cancer and degenerative diseases become epidemic today?
Well, you know, back in 1900, they said one out of every 100 or one out of every 60, some people say, came down with cancer. And now it's one out of every 2 or one out of every 3, they're saying now. And it's simple. You know, it's what happened between 1900 and 2016, and the answer is pretty simple, the Industrial Revolution. I mean, the Industrial Revolution has belched every poison into our air, our water, our food. You know, our stress levels have gone up dramatically. You know, we've been taken away from the family farm, and we're driving around in cars that are just belching toxicity into the environment. So everything that we've done between 1900 and now that's, you know, been a repercussion of the Industrial Revolution has just started to break down, you know, all the foundations of society, particularly our health. And so, you know, there are so many causative factors. There really is no one causative factor of cancer. It's just an accumulation of all of these things that we've given ourselves to over the last, you know, 100 years. But they're saying by the year 2030, 2040, virtually every person is going to be guaranteed of getting cancer. That's the direction these numbers are going. And so there's just so many things today that are profoundly causing these epidemic numbers in cancer and other degenerative diseases, not just cancer. It just clearly is the environment now that we live in. Everything around us, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we're just being bombarded left and right with a myriad of toxicity, stress levels, you name it. And really, it's that simple. I mean, the concept that cancer is hereditary and genetic is just absolutely outrageous, because genetics doesn't change over a 80 to 100 year period. And so those numbers, those percentages from 1 in 100 down to 1 in 2, that isn't genetics. That is environmental.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people say, well, cancer runs in family. My mother had breast cancer, her mother had breast cancer, and her mother had breast cancer. Well, it's not that these diseases are genetic and familial in that sense. What's familial and hereditary are habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we eat the same foods, we're exposed to the same toxins, we have the same relationships going on within families. You know, a lot of dysfunction in families today. A lot of my patients that come into our clinic, there's a lot of familial dysfunction in a lot of the patients that come into my clinic and can be a major source of their condition. So it's not genetics that causes these diseases. It's clearly environmental and habits within families, and that's where you see the hereditary connection within, you know, within family units and specific diseases or cancers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people will say, well, 75% of all people that have cancer have a vitamin D deficiency, but I suspect that 75% of all people anyhow have a vitamin D deficiency unless they have identified this and corrected it.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yep.
Exactly.
Then can you tell us who Dr. Gerson was and how he developed his therapy?
Yeah, so Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Albert Schweitzer, who's considered one of the greatest humanitarians that's ever walked the planet, well, he called a man named Dr. Max Gerson the greatest genius in medical history. And Dr. Gerson was a German medical doctor who actually came to us around the turn of the last century, around 1900. He was graduating from high school. And to pass high school into university, you had to pass an exit exam out of high school to get into university at that time. So mm-hmm. Max Gerson, on his high school exit exam, he was given a calculus problem that he'd never seen before. But he managed to come up with such an elaborate solution that his own calculus professor couldn't tell him whether it was right or wrong. And so she sent the answer to all the top university math professors in Germany at that time. And every single one of them wrote back saying, we have a mathematical genius within our country.
Mm-hmm.
And they all tried to recruit him for math.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when this happened, Dr. Gerson's family, aunts and uncles, mother, father, brother, sister, they all got together at Dr. Gerson's house. Well, he wasn't Dr. Gerson yet. He was just a kid. Well, they all got together at their house to discuss what Dr. Gerson should study when he goes on to university. And they felt that if he had studied math, that he would just end up in a cubicle somewhere, you know, working out equations the rest of his life, and they didn't think he'd have a great impact on humanity at that point
mm-hmm.
doing that. So they all agreed he should study medicine. So he went to the University of Freiburg, where he began studying medicine. And while he was studying medicine, he was suffering from severely advanced migraine headaches. And those migraine headaches were so debilitating, he'd have to spend 1 or 2 days in a dark room because he couldn't tolerate mm-hmm. the light. So he started setting out to cure himself of his migraine headaches, and he did so by eliminating, you know, the things in the standard German diet at that time, which are essentially the standard American mm-hmm. diet, or the world diet for that matter, of the salts, the sweets, the sugars, you know, the processed foods, the meats, the oils. He started eliminating all of those things from his diet and turned himself over to a completely vegetarian, no salt, no fat diet. And he completely cured himself of his migraine headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So when he graduates from the University of Freiburg, he goes and opens up a practice in Bielefeld, Germany, and he starts using this migraine diet on all his patients. When one comes back to him completely cured of their skin tuberculosis. So now he starts embarking on treating tuberculosis patients. When a man by the name of Ferdinand Sauerbruch gets word that Dr. Gerson's now reversing advanced tuberculosis. Now, this is at a time
mm-hmm.
when Europe was being ravaged by tuberculosis. Over 1 million people died at this time from tuberculosis infection. So Gerson's successfully reversing tuberculosis now with his migraine diet when Ferdinand Sauerbruch approaches him. Ferdinand Sauerbruch was the world's leading thoracic surgeon, or at least Europe's leading thoracic surgeon at that time. So he was the one operating on all these TB patients. Well, he approaches Dr. Gerson upon hearing that he's successfully reversing TB, and he asks him to embark on a study of 460 advanced tuberculosis patients. And he says to Dr. Gerson, he says, listen, if you can cure but one of these advanced TB patients, I'll believe every single word that you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Gerson cured 450
wow.
out of 460 tuberculosis patients. Mm-hmm. That's just an insane number.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, Hitler comes to power. Gerson's a German Jew.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his entire family in the Holocaust, his mother, his father, brothers and sisters, and he himself barely escaped the SS Army and made his way to France with his wife and his three children, one of them being Charlotte Gerson,
mm-hmm.
who I've lived with,
mm-hmm.
his last living daughter. She's 95 now. So they make their way to France. Germany invades France. Then Dr. Gerson's on the next boat to the United States, and he sets up practice in Manhattan on Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while he's on Park Avenue in Manhattan, a woman from New Jersey heard that Dr. Gerson was in New York, and she was suffering and dying from terminal stomach, gallbladder, and liver cancer. She had all three. And so she went to Dr. Gerson's office, and she begged him to give her his tuberculosis treatment, but he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't do it because he understood the political nature of treating cancer with nutrition even back around 1930.
Mm-hmm.
The pressures of a medical doctor who wanted to use nutrition to treat disease was still almost as great as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he refused. And on four or five occasions, this woman kept continually returning to his office, begging him for this treatment, his TB treatment. When finally he agrees to treat her in secret, and he treated her in secret with his TB treatment, and he completely reversed her terminal cancer.
Mm.
And it was at that point that he said, I can no longer turn my face away from this deadly scourge of cancer. And he dedicated the rest of his life to treating and successfully reversing advanced terminal cancer, regardless of the political and professional consequences that he had to undertake
mm-hmm.
once he started successfully reversing cancer. Because once he started successfully reversing cancer, and it became known to the governments and to the medical officials, he became a marked
mm-hmm.
man,
mm-hmm.
and they absolutely destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he came up with his therapy. And to this day, 57 years after his death, he remains the most censored doctor in the history of medicine.
Mm-hmm. We see a lot of that with Dr. Brzezinski now.
Yeah. Dr. Brzezinski has been raided, you know, a few
yeah.
times by the FDA,
yeah.
and he's been under severe, you know, persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And that persecution is really what's made him famous. I mean, he's become the,
right.
the poster child
right.
for the corruption of the industry.
Right, right, right. It's a shame. But that's the world we live in right now.
Yeah, and it's just getting worse. It's not really getting any better. Now they're resorting to allegedly killing, you know,
right,
natural practitioners,
right.
as you've seen.
Then, Dr. Vickers, can you tell us the basic principles of Dr. Gerson's therapy?
Yeah, you know, the whole secret to the Gerson therapy is the production of energy on a cellular level by these little things in your cells called mitochondria. Mitochondria create something called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and they do that on a cellular level through the intake of sugar. And no, not white sugar, not white flour, not white rice, but fruit and vegetable sugars the mitochondria take, and they create energy on a cellular level in the presence of oxygen. When you see somebody who's sick and or dying, what's one of the first things you notice? They're lethargic. Well, why are they lethargic? They're lethargic because they've lost the capacity to produce energy on a cellular level. And the immune system needs massive amounts of energy to maintain a healthy immune system, let alone to cure a sick and dying one.
Mm-hmm.
So Gerson recognized that very early on, that these patients clearly have lost the capacity to produce energy on a cellular level. So everything that we do revolves around that very goal. And the way that you create energy on a cellular level, as I mentioned, is simple. Sugar and oxygen,
mm-hmm.
but not refined sugars.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking fruit and vegetable sugars. So our patients, they're getting 20 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables every single day.
Wow.
20 pounds. And if it's not organic, we cannot cure these advanced cases.
Mm-hmm.
It would be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're getting those 20 pounds mostly in the form of juices. Probably 17, 18 pounds of that produce is in the form of juices. They're getting every, they're getting one on the hour every hour for 13 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the main principle. And then there's a supplement protocol, which again is in line with the production of ATP on a cellular level. We give massive amounts of enzymes to facilitate the breakdown of food into energy. We're giving CoQ10, which is responsible for it's responsible for the electron transport chain, which is a it's a shuttle system for the breakdown of sugar that goes down the electron transport chain, and that's completely dependent on coenzyme Q10, and that electron transport chain is really the ultimate or the final shuttle for the production of energy on a cellular level. So they're getting CoQ10, they're getting niacin, which also stimulates energy production. It expands capillaries, so there can be an increase in exchange between the bloodstream and the tissues. So niacin, they're getting thyroid glandular, a lot mm-hmm. of thyroid glandular. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because the thyroid gland is specifically responsible for replicating mitochondrial DNA.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? That means right now in a cell you might have 1,000 mitochondria. Well, if you give somebody natural thyroid glandular and you give them Lugol's solution, which is potassium iodide, we know the thyroid gland is dependent on iodine. Well, you give those two things together, and now you might have 3,000 mitochondria in a cell.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having 1,000 mitochondria in a cell, you've replicated mitochondrial DNA. Now you have 3,000 in a cell that can take in these 20 pounds of organic sugars in the form of fruits and vegetables and can easily convert them to energy. You know, it's like an old German Volkswagen where they said, if you want heat, you got heat.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're speeding up that metabolism so powerfully by giving these juices, giving the natural thyroid glandular, and you're just heating up the body's metabolism and production of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the foundation of the dietary protocol. When you're dealing with these advanced patients, or any disease patient for that matter, regardless of what stage they're in, you also have to address the levels of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
Because these patients that are sick, they're incredibly toxic from years of abuse to their bodies through, you know, whatever they're doing dietarily. Maybe they're working with chemicals or their exposures to things in the environment. So we've got to address the issue of toxicity. And not only that, when you start juicing and you start going on such an intense dietary protocol, you're actually generating toxicity as well, because these juices, these supplements, these foods, they actually start pulling toxins out of the cells into the bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to eliminate those toxins, or you could go into, you know, essentially mm-hmm. what they call coma hepaticum, which is liver coma
mm-hmm.
or toxicity. And so the detoxification procedures on the Gerson therapy are absolutely vital, and the primary one above all is the mm-hmm. coffee enema. There is not a more potent way to detoxify the liver than a coffee enema, and why is that? The liver produces an enzyme called glutathione S-transferase. Glutathione S-transferase is one of the most potent detoxifying enzymes in the human body. And what the body uses to make glutathione S-transferase is palmitic acid. And properly roasted organic coffee is loaded with palmitic acid.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be properly roasted, and it has to be organic. And it's loaded with palmitic acid. And studies have shown that when you do one coffee enema, the production of glutathione S-transferase by the body goes up 600 to 700%
mm-hmm.
greater than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not any single substance that's been able to show that kind of production in glutathione transferase. So our patients, they're getting five coffee enemas a day. And so the amount of detoxification taking place is incredibly powerful. Now, mind you, when you give coffee enemas, every time I lecture, the patients always want to do the coffee enemas, thinking, oh, well, that sounds great. It sounds like that, you know, that's going to benefit me greatly.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to do the coffee enemas. The problem is, these people coming to us, one of the reasons why they're sick is they're so deficient in nutrients from years of processed foods, years of, you know, eating meat and dairy and all these things that deplete our system of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So that system of the glutathione transferase, if you stimulate that with the coffee enemas, you require massive amounts of nutrients to run that system.
Mm-hmm.
So these coffee enemas, they can only be done in conjunction with the massive amounts of nutrients that we're giving in the form of the juices and the organic fruits and vegetables. If you just did coffee enemas alone, you would cause more harm than good because you deplete the body even more than it's already depleted.
Mm-hmm.
So only on a regimen, a dietary regimen like this, can you introduce coffee enemas in that quantity. You might be able to get away with one a day if you're, you know, if you're healthy and, you know, you're eating a relatively pure vegan organic diet. Mm-hmm. But anything more than that, and you've got to replenish the system with the juices. So this therapy, you just can't pick and choose what you want to do. This therapy is a complete system of healthcare that requires each of its individual components to make up the entire therapy. So the coffee enemas we're doing for detoxification, and then we're doing castor oil. We know that castor oil increases bile production greatly, and attached to that bile are toxins, because toxins are bound when cholesterol is broken down into bile acids by the liver and then eliminated through the intestinal tract. So we give a lot of castor oil on the Gerson therapy. And then, like I said, we do a lot of supplementation. But in particular, there's absolutely no sodium on this diet.
Mm.
You don't give any sodium on the diet. Why? Because one, sodium, particularly salt, table salt, or even Celtic salt and Himalayan salt, the sodium chloride content, it destroys the thyroid gland. The second thing that it does is it causes cellular edema. When you eat salt, you need to drink water. And so sodium and water, they enter the cell, it causes cellular edema, and mitochondrial production of ATP can't take place in the cell, nutrient absorption in the cell can't take place, detoxification in and out of the cell membrane cannot take place because you have this edema building up in the body. So when we put the Gerson patients on the therapy, invariably, across the board, our patients lose 5 to 10 pounds of water weight that's stored up in cells as salt and water across the board within the first 10 to 14 days. So those are the basic principles of the Gerson therapy that we're using at our clinic.
Mm-hmm. One thing, Dr. Vickers, I like to look at when I hear different protocols is, are there similarities between one and another? And as you were talking about energy at the cellular level, is that not also what Dr. Budwick was doing with her diet?
Well, that's great that you mentioned that, because Dr. Gerson actually integrated aspects of the Budwick protocol into the Gerson diet.
Oh.
Absolutely. Her flax oil, that's a great question, because the way the body utilizes oxygen, the way to get oxygen into the cell occurs at the level of the cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the cell membrane made up of? It's made up of fats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what kind of fats is it made up with? Well, whatever fats you're eating, that's what your body's going to use to maintain the cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that cell membrane's the gatekeeper. It determines what's allowed into the cell, what's not allowed into the cell, what's got to get out of the cell, and what's got to stay in the cell. All of that is maintained at the level of the cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And the way all these things are determined at the level of the cell membrane is through the electrical charge in the cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And that electrical charge is completely dependent on the fat content of your diet.
Mm-hmm.
So what did Budwig's protocol utilize heavily? Flax oil, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because flax oil has a special double bond structure that literally draws oxygen into the cell.
Mm-hmm.
The charge at the level of the cell membrane, when you have a perfect quantity of essential fatty acids and omega-3s in particular, which is very prominent in flax oil, it literally has a charge that draws oxygen into the cell. And remember, the only way you can produce energy on a cellular level is through sugar in the presence of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're consuming sugars and you cannot get oxygen into the cell, then that sugar will go through a different cycle of breakdown that produces lactic acid.
Mm-hmm.
That's called anaerobic glycolysis, where sugar gets broken down without the presence of oxygen, and the final production of that is lactic acid, and cancer feeds, and any disease really feeds on lactic acid. Mm-hmm. So that Budweek protocol, which we integrate into the Gerson therapy, the large amounts of flax oil go to maintaining and restoring cell membrane function so that we can get oxygen into the cell. And this brings up another really interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
People's diets today, they're so high in saturated fats from the partially hydrogenated oils that are, you know, in stored processed foods, store-bought processed foods, meat, dairy, you know, cheese, ice cream, cookies, cake, all that stuff is loaded with saturated fats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are fats saturated with? They're saturated with hydrogen. And so if your body is using those saturated fats to maintain cell membranes, what you end up doing at the level of the cell membrane is you completely destroy the charge.
Mm-hmm.
So if those cell membranes are saturated with saturated fats, saturated with hydrogen, as oxygen approaches the cell in that environment, it literally gets repelled away because of the charge at the level of the cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Oxygen mm-hmm. cannot be accepted because it's saturated at the level of cell membrane with hydrogen. So when we're talking about alkalinity and acidity, right, I mean, those mm-hmm. two phrases, mm-hmm. those two words are thrown around like confetti
right,
at a country
right.
fair without really understanding what does that mean. What are the implications of acidity and alkalinity?
Mm-hmm.
We know alkalinity promotes health. We know acidity promotes disease. Well, when we're talking about that, we're talking about pH, right? We're talking
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
potential hydrogen. That's what pH is.
Mm-hmm.
So the definition of acidity, by definition, it's the buildup of hydrogen in the body. And so the only way that you can get rid of that buildup of hydrogen in the body is through the use of fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. And so the charge at the level of the cell membrane, that's what we're talking about with acidity. You get a buildup of hydrogen in the body, potential hydrogen, and that, by definition, the true definition of acidity is improper utilization of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when that cell membrane and the cells in general are loaded with hydrogen, you can't get oxygen into the cell. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Great. That was very good, and I appreciate it. Then Dr. Gerson died in 1959, and have you made changes in his protocol that you use in the clinic?
Absolutely. You know, Gerson was the consummate scientist. He was constantly trying to perfect his therapy based on what was coming out in the scientific literature at that time. There are proponents of the Gerson therapy today who have refused to change Dr. Gerson's therapy from the day he died. They've kept it the same from the day he died. But Dr. Gerson himself, he wouldn't have done anything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was constantly trying to perfect his therapy. He changed his juicing protocol in 1952, which he'd had for 40 years, and he changed it with 6 years left on his life.
Mm-hmm.
So we really try to keep in the legacy and the spirit of Dr. Gerson by adding things that we know are benefiting patients on a on a cellular level. For example, in 1931, Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for proving
mm-hmm.
that cancer, viruses, bacteria, they can survive in highly oxygenated environments. So what do? We oxygenate tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that oxygen, as we mentioned just now, to create energy on a cellular level. So we've included oxygen therapies. We have hyperbaric oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
We have ozone therapy. We have hydrogen peroxide therapy that can be utilized. And now we have something called a beamer mat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a beamer mat is pulse electromagnetic frequencies. And it's a mat that you lie on for 8 minutes, 16 minutes maybe, twice a day. And what that does, they say it oxygenates tissues 35% greater than a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. So oxygen therapy is one of the, you know, primary therapies we use in conjunction with the Gerson therapy. But
mm-hmm.
now there's a lot of evidence coming out about far and near infrared technology.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
in presence of chlorophyll, it works exponentially greater than chemotherapy without harming healthy cells. So we use far infrared technology at our clinic for the treatment of cancer. We're using IV vitamin C, IV chelation, We're using Laetril, which is vitamin B17 from apricot kernels, as you well know, I'm sure. And, you know, that's the darling supplement that everybody goes to Mexico for because it's illegal in the United States. So we use Laetril at our clinic in very high doses, and when it's done in conjunction with hyperthermia, which we also do, we do immersion hyperthermia, the effects of Laetril are 10 times greater as if you didn't use hyperthermia. We know cancer can't survive above 106 degrees. So we use immersion hyperthermia at our clinic where we submerge the patient into essentially a jacuzzi that's heated up to about 110, 112 degrees, and we stick them in there for about 20 to 30 minutes, and that has a profound effect on immunity just because cancer cannot survive in that environment. So that's another thing that we use. Another addition to the Gerson therapy that Gerson himself wrote about in 1959 in his book before he died is the Coley's toxins. William B. Coley was a Harvard medical doctor, and he noticed that when his patients came down with staph or strep infections, their tumors went away or got significantly better. But then when the infections went away, the tumors would come raging back. So William Coley, he decided that he was going to culture the bacterial toxins of staph and strep bacteria. And then he would take those toxins and he would inject them into the connective tissue of his cancer patients. He was actually able to get some permanent cures by doing that. But what Coley failed to recognize was that the immune, he needed to boost the immune system. And had he boosted the immune system, which you can only really do through the foundations of the Gerson dietary regime and detoxification regime, he could have gotten exponentially greater results. Well, Gerson recognized this, and in 1959, when he published his book, he mentioned Coley's, but he never got the chance to do it because he died. And so we're doing that, and we get the same response. When we give Coley's, our patients will break out into a serious fever, and it's the fever that destroys the cancer. And when we give our patients Coley's, you'll always hear them say, it hurts right where my tumors are. Because even though the body's responding to the foreign bacterial agent, toxins of the bacteria, it's not selective in what it's going to heal. And it actually, when you stimulate the immune system like that, it actually is going to go to the thing that's of most vital to its survival, and in that case, it's the tumor. And so as soon as we inject patients with Coley's, they get these fever responses, and they say it's going right to where their tumors are. It's really fascinating. And so we're using Coley's as well, which has been a huge addition to the Gerson therapy. And we're looking at mistletoe, because mistletoe actually does the same thing. It causes a major fever response. So we may actually make a transition into mistletoe at some point here shortly. So these are all the different things that we're using at our clinic to enhance the basic foundations of the Gerson dietary protocol.
I think Kate mentioned that she did IV mistletoe.
She did. She, I'm telling you, she was amazing because she never went to a clinic. She figured it all out on her own. And I'm telling you, I've been doing this 20 years, and it's very rare that somebody can take the Gerson therapy books and the DVDs and learn, because it's so highly specific, Carl. The Gerson therapy is so highly specific. If you make one or two mistakes, it could literally mean the difference between life and death. And what do I mean by that? If you're an advanced cancer patient, you know, we were talking about the Budwig protocol, and on the Budwig protocol is flax oil, and there's also yogurt or cottage cheese. But it has to be non-fat cottage cheese. It has to be non-fat yogurt. If our patients get low-fat yogurt or whole milk yogurt, they won't survive. It's that simple. That one mistake could literally mean the difference between life and death, because tumors love saturated fat for the reasons we talked about earlier. And so just little rules like that. If you eat avocados regularly on, and you're an advanced cancer patient, you're decreasing your chances of potentially surviving. because avocados are so high in fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Gerson recognized some of these things very early on through years of observation, that when he gave patients certain foods, they did not do well. So his forbidden foods list, you'd mm-hmm. look at it and say, well, why is that eliminated? For example, celery. Our patients can't have celery with the exception of just a celery root in a special soup that we use that was created by Hippocrates mm-hmm. 2,500 years ago. But beyond that, they can't have any celery
mm-hmm.
because celery is the highest form of sodium you can get out of any
right,
vegetable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that celery will inhibit the production of energy on a cellular level because of the sodium content.
Oh.
So going back to Kate, mm-hmm. how she was able to figure that all out on her own and be able to piece all those materials together and cure herself is just remarkable. But that's why it is so imperative for people to go, you know, to mm-hmm. a clinic to
right.
learn how to do the therapy, because they live it day by day for 3 weeks straight.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
anyway, yeah, that's the Gerson therapy. That's what mm-hmm. she used to cure herself of her disease.
Great. It's interesting you mentioned the Beamer, because I had never heard of it until about a week ago. And Dr. Pai, when we were setting up the interview, I mentioned to him that I was doing things for preventing cataracts. And he mentioned the Beamer. And then yep. yesterday he talked a little bit about it and how the eye doctors were having so much success using that. And then you mentioned it today as a way of bringing more oxygen to the cells. So I think it's interesting that I'd never heard of it. Now all of a sudden I've heard of it two times in 2 days. So
we started integrating the Beamer about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And we don't have the testimonies personally yet
mm-hmm.
that where we can say that definitely the Beamer has helped, but we do have some patients reporting absolutely incredible things happening with the Beamer. We do have one guy who came to our clinic back in January with prostate cancer spread to everywhere in his body. Now, we didn't have the Beamer unit at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He came to us with prostate cancer. His CAT scan lit up like a Christmas tree
because
mm-hmm. he had bone metastasis everywhere. So he comes to our clinic in January. He calls me in July or August, and he says, Dr. Vickers, I'm completely cured. All the bone mets is gone, and the doctors can't find any cancer. And I said, Tommy, that can't be possible. Because even on mm-hmm. our Gerson therapy, with the advanced protocols that we were using at that time,
mm-hmm.
that kind of cancer with that much metastasis would literally take 18 to 24 months to completely reverse. He did it in 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, Tommy, listen, what are you doing? Are you doing something else in conjunction with our therapy? And he says, yeah, I bought this thing called a Beamer mat back in December. And I've been lying on this Beamer mat every day for the last 8 months. And that had to be it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Beamer mat, what that does for the Gerson therapy, it enhances the Gerson therapy exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that's what he was doing. And, you know, you mentioned cataracts here, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you were talking about?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of our patients, cancer patient, she bought it for herself. Well, her husband has erectile dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
and he has glaucoma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gone. Both are gone within 3 weeks.
Wonderful.
It's really mind-boggling, because you look at this mat and you're like, how does this thing do what it's
mm-hmm,
doing?
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention it costs anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000.
Right,
but
right.
you know, you can't put a price on effectiveness.
No.
But anyway, so I think the foundations of anybody's cancer treatments have to be the Gerson therapy,
mm-hmm.
and I would highly recommend a Beamer mat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Now, tell me, Dr. Vickers, do you do mental, spiritual interventions?
We encourage it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't do it at our clinic because our patients are only there for 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have really much of an impact on a person's emotional and mental state
mm-hmm.
in a 2 to 3 week period. Though I will say, when people come to our clinic, because of where we're located, the beauty, the serenity, are beautiful facilities right on the ocean. It's really a spiritual
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people do leave, believe it or not, in a completely different state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't integrate, you know, psychological counseling, but we highly encourage it because, I mean, we know the emotional component behind a lot of these diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage them to do it at home. We don't utilize it at the
mm-hmm.
facility.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's understandable, right? Now, do you have any statistics on the success by stages? I know Dr. Forsyth keeps track. Well, he has all stage four. And
yeah.
he keeps track anytime he makes changes. He keeps track using a 5-year success rate as his mark to
right.
determine success and failure. Do you have any type of statistics?
Okay. Well, that's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do, but
mm-hmm.
I'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But when people call us and say, well, what are your success rates?
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, nobody can really give you those success rates
mm-hmm.
on a therapy like this. Why? When you're testing a drug versus a placebo, there's only one variable,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the drug and the placebo. That's the only variable. And so you test that drug against the placebo and see what the benefits or the lack of benefits are.
Mm-hmm.
On a therapy like this, there are so many variables that
mm-hmm.
go into whether or not a patient gets well.
Mm-hmm.
The most obvious one being this. This is a 2-year therapy. You don't come to our clinic for 3 weeks and you walk away cured.
Mm-hmm.
You come to our clinic for 3 weeks to learn how to do the therapy, learn how to do it correctly, and you go home, and you have to continue that therapy for 2 years. When you walk out our doors, we have no idea what you're doing. We don't know if you're juicing, you
mm-hmm.
know, all 13
mm-hmm.
juices a day, and at the end of the day, you're having a steak and some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. And then all the other variables.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're eating avocados even though we told you not to eat avocados? What if you're exercising even though we told you can't exercise on the Gerson therapy?
Mm-hmm.
What if you go home and your relationships are such a disaster that your stress levels are prohibiting you from healing? There's just way too many variables
mm-hmm.
to give anybody, you know, realistic statistics
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
success rates. And anybody who does, they're lying through their teeth, more
mm-hmm.
you know, more than not, because it really is on this kind of a therapy. You just can't come down with hardcore statistics. Now, with that said,
mm-hmm.
we are the only ones in medical history to have a peer-reviewed study, proving the ability to reverse terminal cancer. Nobody has such a peer-reviewed study.
Mm-hmm.
That study, it's called the Gerson Melanoma Study. There is not another study of its kind. And in that study, back around 1996, when it was published, we were able to essentially sequester or control 79 terminal melanoma patients sent home to die, no chance of survival with conventional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to sequester essentially 79 patients, and we were able to prove, just on the basic Gerson therapy, none of the extra therapies that we're doing at our clinic, just the basic Gerson therapy,
mm-hmm.
we were able to prove a 40% cure rate.
Wow.
In terminal melanoma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we know melanoma is the deadliest form of cancer
right,
you can
right.
have.
Except pancreatic.
Exactly. So, but, you know, it's interesting. Even though melanoma is the deadliest, most aggressive
mm-hmm.
form of cancer you can have, believe it or not, it's one of the easiest to cure.
Mm-hmm.
That melanoma and lymphoma are actually, even though they're very aggressive, they're actually our greatest success rates.
Oh.
And the reason why is because lymphoma and melanoma, they don't have the capacity to hide from the immune system by creating a biofilm around them,
mm-hmm.
as other epithelial cancers do, like a pancreatic, like a colon, like a lung. They can hide from the immune system because they put like a biofilm shell around them that makes them undetectable to the immune system. Well, lymphoma and melanoma can't do that. So when we boost up the immune system with the Gerson therapy, well, the body can very quickly attack those two cancers. Whereas with the other cancers, pancreatic, colon, it takes the body longer.
Mm-hmm.
but we still have a laundry list of people who've been cured of all those other cancers as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But melanoma and lymphoma would be probably our greatest successes.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Now, are you inpatient or outpatient when patients come for that 3 weeks?
Oh, no, they're inpatient.
They are?
Yeah, they come and stay at our facility for 3 weeks, and they get to bring a companion. Sometimes if they have little children, we'll allow them to bring their children as well.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it is an inpatient facility, and from the moment you walk into our doors, from the moment that you leave, you're being served hand and foot with pure organic produce, your coffee enemas, everything we've mentioned.
Now, do they come back periodically after?
No.
No, they don't.
Once you leave our clinic, you know, you've been taught everything you need to do. Now, with that said, people love our place so much that we'll often have them come back they'll come back just for a vacation and just for a break from having to produce all that produce back at home. They'll come and, you know, take a few weeks off at our place and let us do it for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, once you leave our doors, you leave our doors. The rest is up to you.
Mm-hmm. And do they take anything home with them to take, or is it just they've learned everything they need to learn?
Right. Well, like I said in the beginning, we have a supplement protocol that is absolutely vital to the success of the therapy. So you continue those supplements, you know, for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, included in our pricing at the clinic, we send them home with 3 months' worth of supplements. We send them home with 3 months' worth of the Coley's treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So those are included when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
But no, absolutely. When they go home, they have to continue not just the knowledge they learned, but they've got to continue every single thing that we taught them at the clinic.
Mm-hmm. Great. And you're in Mexico and not in the United States. Can you tell us why?
Absolutely. If I open this clinic in the United States and I claim to be treating cancer or really any advanced disease, I go to jail. The pharmaceutical and medical industry, they control our politicians. They're one of the primary donors to political parties, to campaigns. And so they own our politicians. That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
because they own our politicians, they've gotten our politicians to pass laws making it illegal to do what we do in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why we're in Mexico is so that we can practice freely without the persecution of the United States and local state governments.
Mm-hmm. One question I should have asked before and I didn't think about it, and that is, you mentioned the supplements. If someone like Kate, who can't afford to go to the clinic and does this at home, can they buy the supplements from you?
We don't sell the supplements. I mean, we could. It'd probably be a great revenue stream, but we don't. We provide our patients with the actual suppliers that we get them from,
mm-hmm.
and they just buy them direct off the suppliers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, so if somebody couldn't afford to do it,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned Kate, for example. Kate actually counsels people over Skype or over the phone
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that can't afford to go to a clinic and would like to try to do it at home. She actually does that,
mm-hmm.
And then she could supply, you know, all the links and the names of where to get all of
good.
That.
Good. Yeah,
yeah.
She's a great resource.
Yeah, she is.
Good. Then, Dr. Vickers, do you have parting words before we look at services, products, and if you have books?
Well, I haven't published any books. People keep telling me I should write a book, but mm-hmm. I just feel like that, you know, the books have already been written, particularly by Dr. Gerson, his daughter Charlotte, who I lived with. She's actually written the books already, you know, written books herself. So
mm-hmm.
the information's out there. There's not a whole heck of a lot I could personally add to it. But, you know, look, we've been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the reality is terminal cancer isn't a death sentence. You know, cancer, whether it be early stages or late stages, it's still completely curable. Are we curing everybody? No.
Mm-hmm.
You heard what percentages we got in terminal mm-hmm. melanoma, where, you know, which is around 40%.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the prevailing percentage if you had to line them all up. You know, some might be a little bit more like a lymphoma, but then now some might be a little less like a pancreatic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a death sentence. And chemotherapy's never been double-blinded studied. Why has it never been double-blinded studied? Because the evidence is crystal clear that those who don't do chemotherapy
mm-hmm.
typically live 3 to 4 times longer than those that
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the patients, they need to understand that they can be cured, but I'll tell you, it takes an incredible will to live and the ability to be proactive in your disease. And mm-hmm. if I lined up 100 terminal patients and I taught them about the Gerson therapy, I'd be lucky if 10 actually did what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because nobody wants to radically change their lifestyles to heal themselves of their disease. Food is such an emotional component of our life,
mm-hmm.
and people love their food. So to get somebody, even if they're sick and dying, to change their lives radically to be cured,
mm-hmm.
that's a hard task in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But those who do, they will reap the benefits more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're willing to be proactive in your health, radically change your lifestyle, there is hope, even in the most terminal of states. And that disease can be completely reversed.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, don't sell yourself short, because Charlotte, I understand, has basically retired. You mentioned many new interventions that you're using
yeah.
that was not part of the original Gerson.
That's right.
And I think that all of this would be a big addition to the literature on cancer being treated from a natural point of view.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I guess I could add, you know, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. those, you know, those books that have been written. And, you know, I continually am pushed. So
right.
before you know it, you just may see something with Dr. Patrick Vickers on there. But
great. Good. I'll look forward to that then. And you said you don't have products?
No, like I said, we don't sell the products. We can help help people, you know, have access to those. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the future we'll set up a website where, you know, mm-hmm. you can go and get those products.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, we don't sell any of the Gerson products. We're so focused on what we're doing mm-hmm. at the clinic mm-hmm. that I just haven't added that revenue stream mm-hmm. to our mm-hmm. our business plan. But again, we mm-hmm. can help anybody get the things that they need. They just need to call us and we can supply them with those needs. But like I said, Kate, my fiance, who mm-hmm. is my fiance, I don't know if she told you that.
Mm. Good, good.
Yeah, yeah. She counsels people, like I said, online, and so she can always help them with mm-hmm. that as well.
Now, can you give us your website?
Yeah, so our website, simple, www.gerson, G-E-R-S as in Sam, O-N as in Nancy, gersontreatment.com, www.gersontreatment.com. If you need to reach me, and this is how you would contact us if you're suffering with cancer and you're interested in possibly coming to our clinic, it's simple. It'd be info@gersontreatment.com, and I answer those emails. So if you write, I'd be the one answering you. And then our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is great because we're always throwing out Gerson-approved recipes. We're posting those, you know, those testimonials, the one that I gave you about the prostate cancer, Tommy King, he's up there. We're constantly putting up testimonials, great, incredible testimonials. So our Facebook page is Northern Baja Gerson Center, and Baja is B as in boy, A-J-A, Baja. That's Baja, California, Mexico. So Northern Baja Gerson Center is our Facebook page. So feel free to add us as a friend or follow us. We give out great information, and the testimonials are just always incredibly inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much, Patrick. I've learned a lot from this. Things like celery is a no-no. And I eat celery because I tend to be very low on sodium. I don't eat a lot of sodium because I have a heart condition.
Right.
And so I knew that sodium was high, but I didn't make the connection before until you made it today. So,
well, in a healthy person, you know, celery would be okay, but if mm-hmm. you're dying of cancer, you just don't do
right,
it.
Right, right. So I appreciate it very much, and it's been very informative, and I know it will be helpful to those that are interested in more information on Gerson.
Yeah, great. You know, it's always an honor to be able to share with the general public Dr. Gerson's life, his legacy, and his healing therapy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I look forward to seeing you next time I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.